Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. We have an absolutely jam-packed show for you guys today. Of course, we covered everything you need to know for the waiver wire in the NFL in Hour 1. You guys can go back and listen to or watch that on demand on YouTube or wherever you are able to access Sports Grid programming. We're going to have some more NBA content for you coming up in the second half of the show. And of course, we are going to talk about game two of the World Series between Max Fried and Jose Urquidy going on. And we definitely, of course, are going to be looking towards the NFL game taking place tomorrow night between the Green Bay Packers and the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, George, look, it's a busy time in the sports world. Golf is happening. It's happening, you know, kind of on a much lower level. Of course, we got hockey, we got baseball. How are you dealing with everything? How's your attention span been holding up with all the football going on?
It's my favorite time of year. By far, it's my favorite time of year as far as sports is concerned because you have everything. You've got the Major League Baseball playoffs and now World Series. The NHL has opened up for me open up their season. I'm a big hockey guy. And, of course, you got football. It's week 7, week 8, so we're in the middle of the football season. We're starting to see football now. To me, we don't see football until the weather changes here in the Northeast, right? Because now you're seeing football being played in rain and wind. Cold weather is coming here. To me, that's football. You know, I guess watching a football game in September where it's 95 degrees and sunny, that's not football. I like seeing football in the elements, right? I love that game Sunday night in San Francisco where it's monsooning, right? I mean, if there was an old time, they make their stadium so much better nowadays, the drainage, but old time, there'd be nothing but mud, grass all over the place. Everybody be dirty. I would love that even more here. And Monday night, to a degree, the weather was interesting with the as far as affecting the game, but the play itself was horrific as how bad the quarterback play was for both teams there. But I think that this is now when football becomes football because the weather is changing.
Yeah, look, it's cold. The wide receivers, you're going to see them up there when they're it always cracks me up when the wide receivers are blowing on their hands, the quarterbacks are blowing on their hands before the snap to make sure it's warm enough. You're right. I mean, that is classic football. If it was up to me, every team would play inside of a dome on turf so that we could have lots of points scored and the elements would never matter. I don't think that's ever going to fly for, you know, Soldier Field is going to be the crappiest stadium to play in forever. And that's just the way it goes. We're all used to it by now. Our headlines for today, World Series Game 2 tonight in Houston. The Braves lead the series 1-0. The Heat play at the Nets. That's the best game tonight in the NBA. The Nets, you know, basically trying to figure things out without Kyrie Irving. Zach Lowe was saying today on his podcast, The Low Post, that he basically thinks the Nets are treating this right now like the preseason, trying different rotations, bringing guys in the rotation, out of the rotation, in the starting lineup, out of the starting lineup. Packers wide receiver Marquez Valdes-Scantling is expected to be active for Thursday night football. That is going to definitely be a relief to Aaron Rodgers, who is going to be without his binky in Devontae Adams. He also is not going to have Allen Lazard in that game. The Arizona Cardinals are 6.5-point home favorites. Only one loss between these two teams, right? The opening week loss between the Packers. The Cardinals are also undefeated. And the Miami Dolphins have signed Duke Johnson to their practice squad because Malcolm Brown was just recently placed on the short-term IR for the team. Means their backfield just had Miles Gaskin and Savon Ahmed. I actually think they are probably going to activate my old friend Patrick Laird off the practice squad this week ahead of Duke Johnson. Patrick knows what to do playing there on third downs. But how many times have we talked about Duke Johnson being signed to a practice squad, right? So Duke Johnson was on the Jaguars practice squad. I believe he was on the 49ers practice squad and in week two when they had all those injuries. I mean, when are we finally going to stop hearing about Duke Johnson, George?
He's a player, when you think about it, a team just haven't seemed to know how to use him, right? They haven't taken advantage of his skills. He's not your traditional running back. He's not going to carry the ball 20 times a game. He is more a receiver out of the backfield who can carry it a smattering of times. But teams just haven't seemed to know how to use him ever since Cleveland the first couple of years there. So I agree with you. I don't think Duke will play this week. I think it will be Laird that gets activated off the practice squad. And would it shock me if Duke ends up on another team or two this season? No, I don't know if he's long-term for Miami either once they get healthy.
Yeah, it's just what a weird career for that guy. Duke Johnson, this is actually true. He is the all-time leading rusher in Miami history, right? So, you know, we're talking about Edgerrin James and how many great running backs has Miami had? But he had 3,519 rushing yards at Miami. 26 touchdowns, 69 receptions, 30 touchdowns his entire time there. I mean, Duke Johnson was an absolute stud, starts out his career in Cleveland looking really good. They don't really use him, has the huge season in 2017 with 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns. Then he leaves to go to Houston. You know, in 2019, everyone thinks he is going to be the man in Houston. Carlos Hyde comes in, you know, to steal everyone's fun, gets 245 carries. I mean, what just a very strange career for Duke Johnson. I'd love to get a behind the scenes story on Duke Johnson someday. But we have
Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo 1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
NBA to discuss. We have a World Series game with single game fantasy to discuss for the Atlanta Braves and the Houston Astros. And then, of course, fantasy or reality in the Sports Grid 60. So everyone, make sure to stay tuned for the next hour of the show for the day. Fantasy Sports Today at Sports Grid TV. See you guys back in just a moment.
Sports SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back from break here at Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, giving George Kurtz another little rest as, of course, I bring our producer Brett Levy in to discuss the NBA tonight on FanDuel. We have a nice little 10-game slate. We have some really interesting games, some less interesting games, right? Charlotte, Orlando, don't know how many people are tuning in for that, but we have Lakers, Oklahoma City. We have the resurgent Minnesota Timberwolves against the scuffling Milwaukee Bucks. Lots of high total games, and of course, lots of injuries that we are dealing with in the NBA, Brett. And you have constructed us a little sample lineup to take a look at tonight on FanDuel. Going to start in the backcourt. Of course, we got to go with LaMelo at 8,200, one of the best value plays on the slate. Over at dailyroto.com, we actually have him as the third best value at the point guard position. And then I am interested to see Tyrese Haliburton in there for you. What are your thoughts on Haliburton tonight at 6,000 for the Sacramento Kings?
I'm a big Tyrese Haliburton fan, Davis. I actually thought for a long time last season, he looked like the rookie of the year. Not Anthony Edwards, not LaMelo Ball. Obviously, Haliburton goes down with injury. Anthony Edwards has his scoring run. LaMelo Ball probably did enough to be, quote-unquote, in the conversation for me with Tyrese Haliburton during the bulk of the season. But LaMelo, obviously, well-deserving Rookie of the Year candidate, but just shows how big of a believer I am in his game. I think Haliburton is a really great backcourt mate with De'Aaron Fox. I think he can shoot. He can finish at the rim. He defends a little bit as well, has great length and size at that two guard position. And he's just a heady basketball player playing for Iowa State and Team USA at different points in his career. He's been around a lot of great coaching and has always been one of the better players on all those teams. So Haliburton's a guy that has put up over 20 fantasy points in every game this year. And when you have Seth Curry in your lineup on Tuesday night, you're making sure you're packing your lineup full with a lot of Tyrese Haliburtons on Wednesday, so you don't make that mistake.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, Tyrese Haliburton is definitely going to be one of the lower-owned options at the position, which we always love. We like to get there sometimes. All right, the shooting guard position. I'm a huge fan of these two plays. We have Nickeil Alexander-Walker of the New Orleans Pelicans at 6,100. He basically has been the big winner of Lonzo Ball's move from the Pelicans to the Bulls. He's been playing minutes. If you have ever watched Nickeil Alexander-Walker play before, you know there's basically never been a possession where he gets the ball and he thinks that him shooting the ball is not the best possible ending of that possession. My guy absolutely loves to shoot. And then Josh Giddey, I got to say, Brett, I didn't really know what the Oklahoma City Thunder, my favorite team, was going to be getting from him, but he has been really good thus far. I mean, really good relative to what I expected for fantasy. He's been getting a ton of minutes. He and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are kind of trying to figure out how they should play together, right? It's a little bit of your turn, my turn stuff going on with them. But Giddey, much cheaper than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We already talked about, the Lakers being kind of tired on the back end of their back-to-back, and they're not a particularly good defensive team either. So break me down, Nickeil Alexander-Walker and Josh Giddey.
Well, Davis, if you just listened to me more, you would have loved the Josh Giddey pick, but I know you think I'm a silly Mets fan, so it's okay. I can't blame you, Davis. But yeah, Josh Giddey is a guy. I compare him, and again, I don't like doing this stuff. It's something I was taught not to do, but I mean, how many 6'8 point guards are there that can go out there and get you a triple-double every night? LaMelo Ball, Josh Giddey, maybe Ben Simmons if he ever gets back on a court. But those are really the list there, Davis. So I love Josh Giddey. He also came out of the NBA academies. He's the first ever draft prospect to come out of the NBA academies. But he's just the basketball player for me. I loved him in the NBL. I love what he's doing so far. Nickeil Alexander-Walker, a big-time scorer in college, has developed a little bit slower than maybe anticipated in New Orleans, but I think some of that was because they had so many guards his rookie year, and then he kind of broke into the rotation last year. He's always been a player scouts and coaches have liked. They liked his game. They like what he brings offensively and defensively, and you're right. No Lonzo Ball, more shot attempts for him, more time with the ball in his hands, playing with Devontae Graham. So Nickeil Alexander-Walker is a person whose price will probably continue to rise throughout the season, and I'll just keep playing him while he's cheap.
Yeah, there you go. So I am definitely on board with those two plays. We're going to take a look at the front court now. The small forward position, they've done a good job on FanDuel of, you know, trying to make the small forward position not quite as gross, right? Because it used to be you'd play lots of guys there who you didn't really want to play simply to fill the positions out, but now we have the multi-position eligibility, so we can play guys like Giannis at small forward. We can play guys like Scottie Barnes at small forward. That is really nice. We actually have Scottie Barnes' teammate here, OG Anunoby, priced at 6,900. Cam Reddish, priced at 5,300. In the front court, Domantas Sabonis. I mean, you certainly can't go wrong with Domantas Sabonis. He has been fantastic this year. John Collins priced way down at 6,400. He gets to play against the Zion-less New Orleans Pelicans. He also should get some minutes at center here since the Pelicans are pretty much always playing a big, right? You know, Steven Adams out there. And then Wendell Carter at center. Big fan of Wendell Carter, especially on a team that, you know, isn't really trying to win and can give plenty of possessions to him on offense.
Yeah, so I think what I was trying to do here is I knew I wanted Sabonis in my lineup. He's just flat out one of my favorite players. Also, Toronto, a team I'm pretty much fading all season long. I was really high on them on opening night. They came out very flat. I'm still not really sure what the Raptors are this year. So Sabonis, I expect to have a big night. No Siakam. Chris Boucher has been pretty much like a disappearing act this season. John Collins, another guy I'm pretty much always going to play at that price no matter what. I love John Collins, love everything he does. Got a big deal this offseason from the Hawks, well-deserved. Cam Reddish has played well above my expectation for him. So, we need some small forwards, Davis. He's at a fair price. I thought, why not get him in there? Anunoby is probably the only piece I really like from this Raptors team. And he fit in my lineup pretty well as well. He's going to get over 25 fantasy points just because he rebounds. He's kind of always making the right basketball play is how I would describe him. He's not going to get you like 25 points a night, but he's going to be really solid. He'll be on the floor and he'll be around the basketball, which is important. And then Wendell Carter going up against Charlotte. Mason Plumlee is the starting center for Charlotte. You know, that's fine. He's a good player. But Wendell Carter is good enough, in my opinion, to still have a very effective night against Mason Plumlee.
All right, last guy. I just got to ask you about Robert Williams III of Boston because, you know, the thing with him in DFS has always been, yeah, he's great, but he never gets the minutes, right? He played like 18 minutes a night, but he would crush when he was out there. He's getting extended playing time now up against Washington tonight. Just in general, what are your thoughts on Robert Williams?
Robert Williams, a good player. I probably like him more in real life than DFS, to be honest, Davis.
Yeah, which is totally fair. You know, and that, you know, that this is always the problem. We love centers in DFS. We always love to play centers, but what position is going to be the most susceptible to injuries in game and most susceptible to fouls in game, especially Robert Williams? I mean, Robert Williams, he absolutely loves to be fouling out in these games. That is a
con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
A nice look at the NBA tonight. You guys can play some DFS over on FanDuel. You can get free projections and our optimizer over on dailyroto.com. I would encourage you guys to check that out. We're going to go ahead and run to break real quick, and we're going to discuss MLB in the World Series when we get back. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. We set Brett Levy back, though he is going to return with us just in a moment. We just talked some NBA DFS, and we're about to talk about some single-game fantasy on FanDuel tonight for the World Series. But before we do that, I need to remind everyone, you got to be following us on social media at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. You can also follow Sports Grid on Instagram. If you do follow at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV, you're going to get all of the best news, notes, and analysis for sports wagering and fantasy gaming. They're going to retweet my podcast. They're going to have highlights from this show and all of the great content that we have on the network from myself, from George, from Craig Mish, from Scott Farrell, and everyone else in the Sports Grid family. So make sure that you are following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. And now we are going to get to some single game fantasy tonight on FanDuel. We, of course, have Max Fried going up against Jose Urquidy. We have, you know, some huge prize pools out there tonight on FanDuel. You can make a ton of money if you get your MVP, your star, and your three utility players correct. And I guess, George, before we get into talking about the specific players, how do you see this game going? Do you like, do you like or dislike either of the starting pitchers? Do you think either team has an advantage tonight in Braves Astros?
Well, by starting pitchers, I mean, the Braves definitely have the advantage. Max Fried, one of the better pitchers in the game. Jose Urquidy, not so much, right? He's had 8 days rest. Even the Astros haven't trusted him to give him a regular starting role during these playoffs. I think what the Astros are looking for more than anything, innings. They need innings out of Urquidy. Can't keep going through this bullpen over and over again. Now, You could say the same exact thing about Freed and the Braves, as once again, Morton, due to the broken leg, only gave him two and a third yesterday. So they need more innings out of Freed as well here. Can't keep going to that bullpen over and over again. Davis, I got to tell you, this is, I was talking about Craig about this yesterday. This has got to be the only World Series I can ever remember where you're lucky between both teams if you can get one starting staff. I mean, you think about it. You had Morton, now he's gone. Freed, Anderson, that's all you got from the Braves now. You got two starters. There's no other starters there. You know he's already out. He got hurt last round, so he's gone. You look at the Astros, McCullers, gone. Valdez, Garcia, who's pitching after that? Zach Greinke? He's been a softball pitcher. All right, Urquidy's nothing great either. It's amazing these teams are even this far when you think of what they have as far as a starting staff here. One thing about Urquidy, he's a severe fly ball pitcher. The reason he's starting game two and not game three is because, well, game three, they're very likely to have Alvarez in the outfield. Not a very good outfielder. All right, that's a DH playing the outfield there. So they wanted to go Urquidy game two because they'll have a better defensive outfield. But the problem is, ball flies out of that ballpark too, right? It's a small ballpark, especially to the corners there. Plays a little deeper to, left center, right center, and center field. But down the lines, it's small here. So I think runs are coming tonight for the Braves. I think Urquidy's going to give up some bombs.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. So that definitely, in your MVP and your star slots, I definitely think we're going to be considering Freddie Freeman. Definitely think we are going to be considering, hero of the postseason, Eddie Rosario. But really, any cheap home run is really going to swing things there. So we have some Braves pricing up there. Freddie Freeman at 9,000, Ozzie Albies at 7,500. We have Eddie Rosario at 7,000, Austin Riley at 6,500. And my guy, how is Jorge Soler not just your absolute favorite play of the slate? Hits the leadoff home run. I'm gonna start here. A lot of the times, these FanDuel single game slates can be swung by the cheap players, right? The cheap batters, if one of those guys does well. So I'm gonna start here with a very difficult question for you. Your favorite guy out of the sub 6,000 guys. We got Duvall, Jock, Dansby Swanson, Travis d'Arnaud, Jose Siri, or Martin Maldonado. I'm really coming at you with the hard questions. Who is your favorite cheap guy, George?
Well, it's hard not to like Soler. It's really, he hit the rocket for a home run yesterday. Can he do it again? He swings hard. He doesn't get cheated. So I think it's a possibility. But the guy I would go for, how about Swanson? We haven't heard much from him. He's gotten a smattering of small hits, single here, single there. But the kid does have some power. He's had a pretty solid year for the Braves here. I might look at him today as far as the cheaper guys available. And you're right. Those are guys that are going to win it for you. All right. The other guys you mentioned, they're not very good hitters. There's a reason why they're cheap, right? Swanson's a decent hitter. He's not a bad hitter. I would still bank on Jorge Soler, but Swanson would be the next guy in line for me.
Yeah. Of course, we got Soler down there at 6,000 looking like one of the strongest plays. Freddie Freeman going to be a great captain play or a great MVP and star play. Though, of course, I would just let everyone know when you go play this single game slate tonight on FanDuel, a huge chunk of the ownership is going to be concentrated on Freddie Freeman in the MVP and the star slots. So not feeling that bullish there. On the Houston Astros side, we have Yordan Alvarez, who is priced at 9,500. We have Jose Altuve priced at 8,500. Carlos Correa at 8,000. Kyle Tucker at 7,500. Alex Bregman at 7,000. The most interesting play here for me, it's got to be Yordan Alvarez at 9,500. He's got that lefty-on-lefty matchup versus Max Fried. I can tell you from experience, played lots of these slates, played lots of fantasy baseball. People hate that left-on-left matchup. They see the lefty-on-lefty, George, and they just really try to stay away from it, and especially because Alvarez is so expensive. But I got to say, he does look like the best captain to me because it doesn't matter, lefty, righty, whatever. A bad pitch against Yordan Alvarez in this ballpark is getting crushed and it's flying out.
Oh, agreed. He's about as hot as you can possibly get. I don't think lefty on lefty bothers him all that much. He had no problem hitting Sale, who's a much tougher lefty to hit against, right, with that windup and that sort of sling bow motion he has there. So I'm not all that worried about that. I'm worried more about the price. And if I'm going to pay with 9,500, who else can I get in my lineup there? Alvarez hit that triple last night. I couldn't believe the ball went that far. It didn't look like he got it at all. I kept like, oh my God, he's going back. Oh, I might get out of here. Went off the top of the wall, missed the home run by about a foot. So he's feeling it right now. And for Max Fried, a very good starting pitcher, but he's not someone who blows the ball by you. He's a pitcher, literally. Up, down, change of speeds, inside, outside. He pitches. That's what Max Fried does here. He's pitched very, very well here. I think he'll have a good, solid game here, but I don't think he's going to be great here. So does it shock me if Alvarez hits one out? No, not at all. And he's not afraid to hit the ball to left field, by the way. And you got those Crawford boxes right down the left field line. You think the Green Monster is short? Those are just as short there, and the wall's not as high here. I have no problem with Alvarez if you can afford him in your lineup.
Yeah. All right. Run me through your thoughts on the rest of the Astros, and then we can pick our favorite MVP and star candidates as we close the loop on game two of the World Series tonight.
Yeah, I know Altuve didn't do much last night. I think he does rebound tonight. I think the split might help him here. I am not taking Bregman. He's cold. He's just cold. And really has been for most of these playoffs. I'm not going to bank that he suddenly breaks out tonight. Maybe he, I'm not saying he won't, but I'm not going to bank on that. That's not me. I've had Yuli Gurriel as a fixture in my lineup, I think, every game. All right. He had great numbers in Fenway, so he was an automatic for me in there. I think most nights he was about 6,500, so I could easily afford him there. Almost hit the home run last night. Yeah, he should not have run, tried to stretch into a double. That was kind of stupid. He was out pretty easily. Actually, he was only out because the Astros watered down the infield so much because they want the ball to slow down that when Altuve did the head first slide, he almost like stopped. And he couldn't reach second base. It was kind of funny when you think about it. So, but Gurriel will be my lineup as well here. Listen, you may have to go with Maldonado. We got to save money somewhere, right? So Maldonado or one of the other cheap Astros. Can't go with all the expensive guys. I mentioned Swanson before. I won't have Correa in my lineup. Nothing against him, but once again, I got to save money somewhere.
Yeah. So I think, if we'll just go ahead and run through a little sample lineup here. If you start with the two lefties, Yordan Alvarez and Michael Brantley in your MVP and your star slots. So there you already, I think you have a unique correlation built because that lineup is basically saying Max Fried does not get through this lineup twice, right? Max Fried is not pitching in the fifth inning. Max Fried is not pitching in the sixth inning. So I like that little correlation there of running through the Astros left-handers. And then you can throw Travis d'Arnaud in your lineup. Hope he gets a hold of one. We can play our guy, Jorge Soler, that we already discussed, that we both liked. And then you can play anyone you want. You can play Altuve, Correa, Ozzy Albies. So there you go. There's a lineup that's probably duplicated tonight in the large field contest. And let's just go ahead and end it here, George. Who wins Braves versus Astros tonight? The line is incredibly close on FanDuel. I bet it even flip-flops as we get a little bit closer to the first pitch. So who wins tonight, Braves, Astros?
The Astros have to win. You can't lose the first two games at home and then think you're going to win the series here. But, man, the pitching matchup all points to the Braves. I mean, I said Fried is a much better pitcher than Urquidy. I'm generally a pitching guy. It's what I go by here. Astros proved last night. They're not afraid of winning in Houston. That's not going to bother them on the road. Give me the Astros. I had them in six anyway, so I'm not going to shy away from that. If Garcia would have been pitching tonight, I probably would have given the edge to the Astros, a better pitcher than Urquidy. But he hasn't pitched in 8 days, Davis. I don't know what we're going to get out of him. You mentioned if you don't think Fried goes through a lineup twice. I'm not so sure Urquidy can go one and a half. Is it going to be three innings? That'd be the most I can expect from him. Give me the Braves tonight. They go up 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Braves definitely can win. I think I would like a seven-game series even just for content here on this show, so I'm going to go ahead and take the Astros. But there we go. We have wrapped up the MLB.
Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. but I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Conversation. So we gave you some good tips on what to do for single game DFS tonight. We're going to go ahead and run into another break here on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, everyone's favorite game in broadcast television, fantasy or reality. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz, giving Craig Mish the day off, bringing George in to keep me company so that I'm not just sitting here talking to myself. And we're in the middle of what I like to call the sports equinox, George, right? Hockey, basketball, college football, pro football, golf. It's all going on right now. Of course, we're keeping everyone up to date. How are your fantasy teams doing? How is the fantasy football season progressing for you? Do you have you got any championships brewing? Is it looking good? Lots of 4-3 teams. What's the fantasy landscape like for you?
Yeah, I survived whatever you want to call it. I survived. I did find it ironic though. I had one 6-0 team. That team lost. I did very well during by NATO. I went I think 9-2, but one of the two losses was my undefeated team, the only one I had there. Other than that, you're right. I have a bunch of 4-3s. That seems to be my favorite number here, 4-3. A lot of teams here, so I'm doing all right. That team that's 6-1, a lot of injuries. I'm lucky to be 6-1. Russell Wilson, that's a super flex league. Russell Wilson's one of my quarterbacks. I've got Geno Smith. You know, there were no quarterbacks left. I have no choice. I think I got Smith there, Derek Carr, and maybe Matt Ryan as my quarterback. So I need Russell to come back there. But I'm okay. No teams are bad. So there are none that I'm like, all right, this is done. Got to move on here. So fantasy so far is going well. No complaints.
Yeah, that's you love to hear it. I think I have one team that's completely done. It's 2-5, right? I picked out of the one spot, and I took Christian McCaffrey, and then I took George Kittle with that flex start there. So if you started Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, prayers out to you. I've been there. It's a tough start, but mostly good results. Lots of Jamar Chase. I wish I would just have taken Jamar Chase on every single one of my teams at this point. And not enough Cooper Kupp. Story of my season, not enough Cooper Kupp. So not feeling great there. But you guys don't care about our fantasy teams. You want us to help your fantasy teams. So let's try and do that a little bit in fantasy or reality with our producer, Brett Levy.
All right. Well, George, we're getting some hockey in here for you today because the Edmonton Oilers take on the Philadelphia Flyers tonight. But the Oilers, George, are undefeated, 5-0 on the year. So we'll start with you for this one. The Oilers will remain undefeated and beat the Flyers tonight, advancing to 6-0. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Now, the Oilers are not a 5-0 team. They're not a great team, by the way. They're not. They are the greatest player in the NHL in Connor McDavid, who's just fantastic and fun to watch. He's the definition of if he's even, he's leaving, because ain't nobody can skate better than Connor McDavid in the NHL. maybe Matthew Barzell of the Islanders is close, but that guy is unbelievable. He has great hands, great feet there. Leon Draisaitl, no one talks about because of Connor McDavid. Draisaitl's a superstar, but we don't talk about him as much because of Connor McDavid there. That's great. They can score goals. Their goaltending is always going to be an issue, and their number one goaltender, Mike Smith, is out with an injury here, and they're being very coy on how hurt he actually is. Mikko Koskinen likely to play tonight. So that's where you can be. I'll get the Oilers here. If you're betting, they're a team I'd love to go with the over. In-game overs, over before the game, props galore here as far as shots on goal and stuff like that. Their defense is average at best. The problem is the Philadelphia Flyers, I'm not so sold on goaltender Carter Hart. We thought he was the answer to their problems maybe 2 years ago. Was horrific last year. This year's government, he's been okay. Flyers have some good players there. They should be a playoff team here. If this was in Philadelphia, guys, I might feel differently, but it's in Edmonton. Yeah, they're going to win tonight. They're going to win. They're not going to get beaten by the Flyers tonight, but I think it'll be a decent game. I'm feeling like 5-3 somewhere around there. Good game, but the Oilers remain undefeated. So this is reality. They'll stay undefeated.
So I wanted to take a look at the Philadelphia Flyers roster and just see like, okay, how many of these guys do I know? Because, right, I am a very casual fan of the NHL, right? Like I know some of the real studs. I know, you know, the guys who were on the Colorado Avalanche. And I was looking like, okay, you know, I remember James Van Riemsdyk, but he's getting up there. Derek Brassard, I remember him, you know, from a long time ago from, you know, like I believe it was the Blue Jackets that he was on. Is that correct, George? So like and Cam Atkinson from the Blue Jackets, but like what a weird team because they still have guys on their roster, the Flyer that I remember from like when I was in college, which I'm 29 now. So remembering Claude Giroux and him still being on the Flyers roster like that. I mean, you know, a long time has passed and he is still out there, you know, doing his best. So I just was interested in that, but I am going to go ahead and side with George's analysis here because I don't think that he would leave me. I don't think that he would mislead me. So I am going to say that this is a reality and the Edmonton Oilers will remain undefeated.
All right. Well, our next question, Davis, there was some surprising news, I guess, yesterday where we learned Ozzie Guillen has interviewed for the managing role in San Diego. Ozzie Guillen obviously won a World Series with the White Sox and then had a stint with the Miami Marlins as well. No Craig today, but Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Ozzie Guillen will be an MLB manager again. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So even if I didn't know who Ozzie Guillen was, and I do like kind of loosely remember who he is, the answer to will a Major League Baseball guy who has been, you know, who was a manager, who was a player, if the answer to the question of will he be an MLB manager again, it's always reality because that's just always what happens. If these guys want to manage, there's always a job for them. Mike Matheny will always have a job. Tony La Russa is like 87 years old. He's managing the White Sox right now. He'll always have a job. I mean, these guys can come out and they can be managing teams that win 60 games. They can make, you know, errors. They can be against analytics. I mean, it just does not matter. The way that baseball works, it's even more of like a fraternity and a boys club than football is. Because in football, if you're a really bad coach, you get found out. Like really bad coaches just get walloped. In football, in baseball, that it, I mean, managers matter. I think it's probably hard to quantify just how much they do matter, but it's like, if you're a terrible manager and you, like, let's say you did your lineup in reverse, like you did the worst possible job you could, and you pulled your starting pitchers too early and you used your worst relievers way too often, it just wouldn't matter. And so guys get hired who front office guys and who owners like. So for me, this has got to be a reality because I bet there are people inside of baseball who like Ozzie Guillen. So this is a reality.
Yeah, this one's tougher because everything you said is correct about the old boys club, the guys who had jobs, you know, they get hired again. And Ozzie did win a World Series with the White Sox, but now you're forgetting why he got fired in the first place. All right, he got fired because when he was manager of the Miami Marlins, he praised Fidel Castro. And you certainly can't do that in South Florida. All right, that was an automatic. He was done there. Whether another team can forget about that, to get over the backlash, whether there would be a backlash for any other team other than Florida, maybe up here in New York as well, we'll see. We'll see. That's why he got canned there. So I don't know if he can overcome that. I think under normal circumstances, sure, he'd have another job because he's a very high-energy guy, a guy who can get through to certain players. And I think the Padres would be interested. That's the team that's talking to him because of Machado, because of Tatis, to get those guys sort of under control there to some, or maybe get Tatis to realize his full potential, that sort of thing. But because of this, it's been 10 years. It's been 10 years. There's a reason for that. You know, so I don't know if he himself would get another job. So I think that's the issue there. Plus, the game has changed in 10 years. Listen, manager's not manager anymore. Will he follow analytics? That's where I'm going with this. All right, and I don't know if he's that kind of guy. He is an old school guy. I don't know if he's going to believe in analytics or believe to the amount that the front office will want him to believe. So I'm going to say fantasy for those reasons. I think they'll talk to him and see what's out there. But I'll say fantasy just to be contrarian to you. Because truth is, it wouldn't shock me if he did get a job. I think he could be someone that could get that team under control so much. Lord knows they underachieved last year, and that can't happen again.
All right. Well, he probably won't have the opportunity, but he could turn down the Mets too. I'm sure everyone's turning down the Mets. But our last question is about Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David, because Larry David, obviously very successful with Seinfeld, very successful with Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's just sold a new show to Netflix, and it's going to be loosely based on his younger Larry David life. So, George, we'll start with you for this one, the Seinfeld fanatic that you are. Larry David's Netflix show will be as noteworthy as his previous projects. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Never seen Curb Your Enthusiasm either. That being said, I do know about the shows. I know they were popular, okay? I'm pretty much clued into that. They were both very, very popular shows. I know it's me, okay? I know it's not something that I could say, oh, you people are terrible. No, I understand. It was my liking for the shows. Will it be as noteworthy? Interesting choice of words there, Brett. Will it be as noteworthy? I guess it depends how you look at it. I don't think it'll be as popular as the other two shows. I don't see how it could be. Right, those are two shows that were just had immense popularity. So I don't think this could be as popular, but as noteworthy, it's a Larry David show. So yeah, I think it'll be noteworthy because it's a Larry David show. Do I think it might die down pretty quickly? Yeah, but that's where the wording is interesting, the way you're going with that there. I'll say it's reality that it will be as noteworthy. People are going to tune in because it's Larry David. They think it's going to be very funny or a very good show. But do I think it'll last? It'll be a great show or something we'll be talking about a year, 2 years, 5 years from now? No.
So this is interesting because I think most people my age have probably seen a little bit of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but have not seen Seinfeld. But I have seen all of Seinfeld and have not watched any Curb Your Enthusiasm. The reason why this is clearly not going to be as noteworthy as Seinfeld or as noteworthy as Curb Your Enthusiasm, it's very simple. There's too much crap to watch. I mean, every single day you get on Netflix, you get on Hulu, you get on Disney Plus, whatever streaming service you like, there's a new show. There's a new movie. There's just always something new to pay attention for. Something will stay hot for like a week. Right now it's like Squid Game, right? And in a month, everyone will be over it. No one will be watching Squid Game. It won't be in the algorithm. No one will care. So even if this Larry David show is the best thing he's ever done, and it's so good and it's so funny, the total percentage of people who like watch TV, who watch it, is going to be way lower than, I mean, everybody watched Seinfeld. The ratings for like old Seinfeld shows like would absolutely blow your mind to see them in comparison to, you know, like the best, most popular show on Netflix would get like 10% of what like a mid-season Seinfeld episode would get. So this is a fantasy for me, will not be as noteworthy. Maybe I will try to watch it, if I'm able to sell my significant other on it, because we got to see about that. Got to see if it's a joint program to watch. But I will check it out. But yeah, it's a total fantasy. It's not going to end up being as popular or as noteworthy because of just the way that culture has changed. But everyone, there we go. We're wrapping up fantasy or reality. We have one more segment left on the show.
Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Show where, of course, George and I are going to get into the Sports Grid 60. If you missed any of the program, you can go back and get NBA, NFL, MLB analysis on demand. And we'll see you guys back in a few moments for the Sports Grid 60.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. We are closing our program out, as we always do, with 60 seconds from George, 60 seconds myself, in what we call the Sports Grid 60.
All right, I'm going to circle back around here. I don't think we've talked enough about what Charlie Morton did last night. You think about what he pitched. He threw 16 pitches on a broken leg. Got 3 outs on a broken leg. He had to know he was hurt. Remember, he suffered the injury in the second inning, came back out of a third. He had to know between innings. I mean, the Braves told you between innings they took an x-ray, and the x-ray showed no break. All right, so he had to know he was hurt, because you can't tell me, oh, yeah, I'm fine, I'll be all right. That leg had to be aching. He had to be in pain. Remember, he has to land on that leg for each pitch. 16 times he had to land on a broken leg. All right, there are some people who are theorizing, including some people on the Braves, that, yeah, he knew he was screwed and he couldn't go very far, but that he stayed in the game to give A.J. Minta time to warm up, all right, to get time in the bullpen there, to get loosened up, because there was no way any pitcher was ready. Morton was cruising. He was going to go 5-6 innings minimum in that game, the way he was pitching. So nobody was ready to go here. Actually, this is something we haven't seen in here. So many props to Charlie Morton for what he did last night. Just a fantastic effort.
So mine is very simple. My Sports Grid 60 today. People have got to stop these terrible, terrible Patrick Mahomes takes, right? I've seen this on Twitter. I've seen this on Sports Talk Radio. I've seen this on ESPN. And I mean, it's, we of course live in a very reactionary society where we have to react to the thing that we most recently saw. Mahomes played bad against the Washington football team. He played bad against Titans last week. So everyone's, oh, Mahomes is not a top five quarterback. Oh, Mahomes is playing bad. Oh, the Chiefs are in trouble with this big Mahomes contract. Everyone, relax. Take a deep breath. Patrick Mahomes is exactly who we thought he is. It's going to be fine. Zoom out on the chart. Take a deep breath. It's going to be all right. Everyone, thanks to everyone at LTN. Thanks to Brett. Thanks for watching. We'll be back on Fantasy Sports Today tomorrow.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.